Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 11 a.m. Hour 2 kicking off on Grant and Danny. Welcome back and thanks for listening to the show. We're on Twitter. I'm at Grant H. Paulson.
Funny Danny for me.
At Funny Danny for all of your inquiries on humor, weird TV shows on Netflix, or sport. Anything along those lines.
And trying to finish your last bite of jerky before the segment started and failing.
Yeah, you failed miserably.
I thought I had it, man.
You got caught, huh?
Big time.
I had no idea you had just taken a bite.
I thought I was in the clear. I ruined it.
4 years of working together, I should know when you're chewing food. Will Blackman played for the Redskins for 2 seasons. I always found him to be immensely insightful, really enjoyed talking to him. Before he came to Washington, he was a Jacksonville Jaguar as part of a four-stop NFL career, and he joins us now on Grant and Danny. Will, I wonder, when you look back on those days in Jacksonville, some of the guys who are big-time players for them now were there when you were there in 2014. Are you surprised that they turned the corner? Because they were building, it looked like, before falling off and then putting it back together with some key free agents.
You said immensely insightful. I appreciate that.
Well, I like to be sweet to my guests.
It's totally true, Will.
No, you know what? It's funny because when I was drafted to Green Bay, we were loaded with superstars. And we struggled a little bit, you know. Even we had Favre and Charles Woodson and you name it. We had all those guys. However, we just hired Coach McCarthy. And he was, you know, he was trying to do his little rebuilding, his four-year plan, I like to call it. And it so happened, you know, 4 years later, they had success and went to the Super Bowl and won. So I think every team goes through that rebuilding, and you just have to trust the process, you know, of, hey, slowly but surely building, whether it's from an executive standpoint or a player standpoint, you build to get it right. And you just have to trust the fact that, hey, Jacksonville literally started with a bunch of, you know, you can't even name a lot of players on that team, you know, and their best player at the time was Justin Blackman, who was dealing with his issues, you know, so I'm not surprised. I'm just happy that Mr. Dave Caldwell, GM, just stuck with the plan and just gutted it out.
Well, for a few years, Jacksonville was always like the critical darling, meaning before the season, every talking head wanting to sound smart would always kind of say, the Jaguars, look out for them this year, and it never quite worked. And this year it did. I mean, this year, you know, the experts, sort of, quote-unquote, that picked them end up being right. What was the move that you think, looking at that roster or team or whatever it was, that put them over the top, that went from future darling to team that can, you know, knock on the door and get to a Super Bowl here?
Well, I mean, you look at, you know, that whole saying, you know, defense, you know, wins championships. And with their last couple of drafts, you know, getting Jalen Ramsey, getting Dante Fowler, you know, getting, you know, they got Telus a couple of years ago, getting Miles Jack. And then going into free agency and you're signing bona fide starters, you know, all pro guys and Calais Campbell, Malik Jackson, you get A.J. Bouye, you know, which was a huge snag. And then you get, you know, the two guys that don't get mentioned a lot but are low-key just huge signings is, you know, Tashaun Gibson, who was a Pro Bowler in Cleveland, and they got him from there. And then you get, a huge leader in Barry Church, who I think was a huge steal from Dallas. They're really missing him. So if you look at all three levels, you have a tremendous leader in Calais Campbell. You have a tremendous leader and veteran in Paul Posluszny at the linebackers. And you have the same thing with Barry Church in the back end. So they're just built all the way through with guys who are just extremely talented and who can lead. And then, you know, you go into their second part. I mean, the backup is Marcell Dareus. You know what I'm saying? Dante Fowler's a backup. Aaron Colvin, who was rated a first-round pick until he got hurt at the Senior Bowl, is a backup too. So they're just loaded with depth, talent, and their confidence is sky high. So on paper, coming into the season, they are doing what they're supposed to be doing on defense. Will Blackman, what they're supposed to be doing.
On Grant and Danny here on the Fan, former Skin, started his career in Green Bay. You, of course, were with the Giants when Tom Coughlin was the head coach, and they beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl. There's been a lot of talk this week about whether or not Doug Marrone is going to go to Tom Coughlin to try to help devise a plan against New England in the playoffs. I think that's kind of overstated, but I'm curious if you believe in coaches having other coaches' numbers or if you think it was just kind of two coincidental games and whether or not that'll be a factor at all with Coughlin being in the building for the Jags against the Patriots.
I definitely think it is a factor. They're not going to go upstairs and be like, hey, you know, like, how'd you guys do it? You know, what's going to help them? Yeah, like, what's going to help is not to – they, first of all, no one talks about that. They actually scrimmaged the Patriots this offseason. Like, they went up to New England and had a full-blown practice with them. So they got a firsthand taste of what it's like. And I think once they measured themselves from that, they left feeling pretty good. Like, hey, you know what? We just competed against them, and we feel pretty damn good about it. And not to mention, their Jacksonville's secondary coach is Perry Few. Perry Few, you know, his best asset is he's a coordinator. He's a consultant. And when we won in 2011, he was our defensive coordinator and created that plan to knock them out. And I feel like Jacksonville is built exactly for they have the recipe personnel-wise to beat New England in terms of they have relentless pass rush, which is you need that to get Tom Brady off, you know, off schedule. They can match up. You know, the difficult thing Patriots do, they get running backs and tight ends and try to match them in your linebackers. Well, guess what? Everybody can run in Jacksonville, you know. So I think defensively they are set up to do exactly what they need to do. And not to mention we have Brandon Jacobs, who is a big back who can run. They got, you know, Leonard Fournette, you know, Ivory, and the kid from Alabama. They're just set up, I think, for that.
You can see why we love having Will Blackman on the radio. He joins us here on Grant and Danny on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Will, let's go into this. Let's say you get named defensive coordinator of the Jaguars before this weekend's game, and you're in that meeting room the night before. I always thought it was – or one of the things you always hear about Belichick is he tells his players, if you do this, like you do these two things, you guys win the game, what would your two things be? What would the thing you would tell the defense, tell the troops, hey, if we do these couple things, we beat the Patriots?
If you don't commit any penalties and if you line up fast, that's all you need to do. Patriots, they come out with thousands of formations to create mismatches, to get you off schedule, to mess you up. And if you just line up, because there's not much you have to tell the defense. Mentally, as you see, they are already far and beyond. They do not care who's in front of them at all. And that's what you need. You need that. So you just tell them to line up quick and don't commit penalties, and you're good. I mean, the game plan is that easy, you know.
Well, you played for two seasons here in Washington. You were here this preseason, and I was surprised not only that the Redskins didn't give you a call at some point, but you didn't end up playing anywhere this year. Did you get calls and there just wasn't the right situation? Were you kind of being choosy, or have you thought about if you're going to try to make a comeback this year? What's the latest with you?
Yeah, I was massively shocked, you know, when the release happened. However, I was shocked in terms of, okay, there's a chance that there's tons of reasons why I still should be here. But I wasn't shocked just because of, you know, I played long enough where you can kind of sense like the direction guys were going, you know, and when I kept moving further and further, further down the depth chart, and when I'm, you know, playing, you know, full fourth quarters, then I kind of have an idea like, hey, you know, if it was a perfect world, I was like, well, at least I wish they would have let me go sooner so I had a chance to go somewhere else. You know what I mean? This year I had a workout with the Colts, which went really, really well. But Chris Ballard was basically saying like, hey, you kill the workout. You need to be on a contender. Like, you need to go on a team that's ready to win because you still got juice. You still can play. And they actually looked at me to go back to corner. So they said, you know, right now we're rebuilding. We're not going to really win this year. So I'm going to just let the young guys play because they were already mathematically out of the playoffs. So just let the young guys get experience. But, yeah, it was more so you're more beneficial to a team who's ready to go win now.
I felt like you still had game left because, you know, you look at the interceptions, the forced fumbles, the plays you made, which is a lot of times how I evaluate defense. You had 7 forced fumbles or picks. You had the big kick returns a couple times over. And it was just surprising to me. I mean, you be candid in your evaluation, I'm sure. Did you thought you played pretty well in 16 here, didn't you?
Yeah, you know what? Especially, you know, for my first time at safety, I just tried to play smart football. I definitely could have played a lot better. You know, there were some missed tackles I had. There were some, you know, coverages where I think I gave up one deep ball, and that was me being too smart for my own good. But I thought I did what I could with situations. Like, there was a huge safety rotation, so it's not like I got to play every single down and make plays. There was a lot of, you know, I was in different packages and what have you. So I thought the one asset that I did have, or one thing that I do provide, is I was able to be a Band-Aid in terms of, hey, we need a nickel this week. We'll play nickel. No problem. Hey, we need a dime. Well, you got to start at dime this week. No problem. Hey, we're thin at corner. We'll start at corner. No problem. Hey, we're thin at returner. Go to returner. No, seriously, that's how it was.
Yeah,
and
that's
so
crazy.
I started every game, and you know what? Gosh, you know, Jameson is, you know, his hand's not right, his knee's not right, so we're not going to have him return. No problem. We'll throw Will back there because Will has done it. You know, he's been played a week as a returner in Green Bay. So the one thing, I was able to take up like four roster spots when I made the team a couple years ago. So that's the one thing. And
the
not
thing
only
I remember
just
about
the
timing,
roster spot provide.
Well, I don't know if this is exactly how it played out, but I remember about the timing, or when we talked about it on the show, I feel like you got released like a day or two before, like, Sua at the same position basically stepped away.
Said, I don't feel like it anymore.
And I felt like, well, if he would have done that 3 days ago, maybe you still would have been there. But I don't know how the pecking order went. I mean, they obviously had Fish Smithson or somebody like that at safety who was on the practice squad who played at the end of the year. So I don't know how it all worked, but
no,
wasn't that pretty?
No. What happened was, is there was a guy they signed from the Colts, Steph McClure, who he ended up having, you know, pretty
McClure.
Good practices. And
he
ended up having he made some plays in consecutive preseason games. So I know Coach Gruden was really, really, really excited about him. So I think when it came down to it, it was between me and Steph McClure, and he ended up picking him. You know, like I said, he did have a better performance in preseason. So if they evaluate it based off of that, then yeah, rightfully so, he totally deserved, you know, to beat me out for that. However, you know, I'm not saying preseason doesn't matter. They do matter because that's a fair evaluation. But you know, I'm a gamer, and when it matters, that's when I show up. So.
Well, last one just
not
about
to
these.
Mention, I stayed healthy. Yeah,
I think we'll see you again. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I would tend to agree, man.
I'm open as the Colts told you. I hope it's with a contender because it'd be cool to get to see you make another run at a ring.
Yeah, I think it'd be neat. Speaking of that, the four teams left. I'm sorry, bud. With the four teams left, basically it's three bad quarterbacks and Tom Brady. It's almost like the new vogue to not have a good quarterback, and then you get to do this. I mean, can you talk about that? What it was like to not have a chance with a rotten QB, or, you know, is there something you take out of this? Kind of the way that these guys have gotten there, is this a new paradigm for franchise building?
It's not. I want to say it's a new paradigm. I think this goes down to a situation of really good coaching on every team. You know, really good coaching is what do you do with the bottom of your depth chart? What do you do with, you know, in Minnesota with the third string quarterback? You know, what do you do in a situation in Jacksonville with a quarterback who's struggling? You know, his first four years. You know, and then you look at same thing. You lose your MVP in Philly, and you get Nick Foles, you know, and you're able to rally around him and make it happen. And then obviously you go to New England, you know, great coaching, great quarterback play, great franchise in general. So this goes down to, hey, the people upstairs are doing what they're supposed to do. And not to mention that these are really good teams that are built, you know, based on what the GM has done. So these are good teams with great coaching. I think that's what it's credit to.
Yeah, you got a couple of the best in football on display. And as always, Bill Belichick's going to be matching wits with someone on championship weekend. Will, love having you on the show, man. Hopefully we'll do it again soon. Enjoy the weekend's worth of games and enjoy the West Coast.
It's great, buddy. Thanks.
Yeah, totally.
Will Blackman, former Redskin and Jaguar. Couple of years before they turned the corner, he was there as they started to make their strides. Good expertise on what happened culturally there. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Next hour, we'll try to rank the Patriots among some of the more hated teams in sports. I think I'm probably in the minority on this. For some reason, my disdain for New England is way lower than it used to be. And as time goes on, which only means that they get more successful and get caught cheating more often, allegedly. I seem to like them a little bit more.
I've got a theory that I'll drop on you, like an album in the 12 o'clock hour, that I think I'm onto something on this one.
I look forward to that theory. I think I know why, and I have my own theory that I'll bounce off you as well. But we'll be curious to take some of your calls to see if you guys feel similarly, that you just don't have the energy to hate the Patriots anymore, that you're starting to respect their hustle a little bit more as they've maintained their dominance through the years. We'll get into that at 12:15 or so. I know, though, Danny, it's bothering you that the Redskins are not signing any of their free agents right now. Maybe more accurately, that we're not hearing reports that they are in negotiations with a lot of their free agents right now.
That's what's troubling to me, is they can. They can do it, as they've shown you. They can conduct business. They went and signed Quentin Dunbar, and that's admirable. I want that. They've got other guys that are eligible right now. Now, we don't know if they're talking to them. We don't know if just, you know, mum's the word or how they're doing this or not doing it, as the case is. I would like to hear, though, overtures. I would like to hear reports that they have reached out to the representatives of Zach Brown, of Spencer Long, of Mason Foster. You can sort of pick some of these guys, of Niles Paul, who won't cost all that much, of Junior Gallette, Bashaud Breeland. This is what bothered me so much, and we found that after the fact, not this offseason, but the one before, and never even sent a text of, hey, how's it going, to Pierre Garçon. You have no idea if you can get a hometown discount. You have no clue. If the answer is no, do your business. Do what you're supposed to do, and that's fine. You don't want to overpay, and that's all your call and whatever. The thing that bothers me, though, is how quiet it is. I would like to hear some reports that they understand the urgency of retaining some of these guys. Don't call Terrell Pryor. Pack his bag for him. Let him go. But some other guys, maybe you should be trying to bring them back in the fold at this stage.
I think there's only five or six guys probably that right now, this moment, they could get deals done with and just kind of wash their hands and say, okay, that's done. That's
congrats
off the to-do
us,
list.
Yeah.
Because if you kind of go through the list here, I've got all the free agents in front of me. There are reasons why for most of these guys, either they wouldn't want to sign right now, the timing isn't right, or if you're the team, you're going to kind of wait and see what the market says. Just rattling off some of the names. Kirk Cousins, we just sat down with him. We know that is basically a non-starter until March. Nothing is going to happen with Cousins. So don't worry about them negotiating with him. Although I would make the case, and I think you would as well, that they should absolutely be putting a substantial offer in front of him right now, knowing that he's not going to accept it, so that at least they can say we did for the first time in multiple years what we were supposed to have done to try to get this contract signed. Terrell Pryor. I saw for the first time yesterday some reports that Pryor could come back to Washington to play for the Redskins again. That doesn't make any sense to me. I don't get the sense that this coaching staff loved him after the start of the season. I think they liked his work habits. I think they liked him during training camp in the preseason.
When he's making wild catches.
But I think at some point he became a pain in the butt. I didn't think he loved it here. You know, you go back to a couple of the little back and forths with the media.
In week one, 11 targets. He was probably fine. And they went, oh my God, what the hell did we just get into?
He decided to shut himself down halfway through the year because he wasn't getting the ball thrown to him and he wasn't playing.
And yeah, so the coaches changed course smartly, by the way. They were fooled, like everybody else, by the Instagram workouts and the preseason one-handed grabs and winning every fade route in practice and whatever else. Week one, he was their featured player on offense. They went away from it because they saw, oh my God, this guy can't do it. And everybody got pissed off.
Dude got benched. I don't think the team loves him. I don't think he loves the team. Sean Laval, thank you for your time.
Appreciate it. Thanks for being here.
30 years old. I'm in no rush to re-sign him. D'Angelo Hall at 34. I'd like to see D-Hall get another opportunity to win somewhere, but it would be as a backup who's kind of a coach on the sideline for the most part with a team that isn't the Redskins next year. My guess is he's going to just kind of ride the horse into the sunset and be happy that he had a heck of a career and as long an opportunity to play here at his home team, the Redskins, as possible. The guy that I would start negotiating with, and you can make the case is the top of the pile of the what are you waiting for, is Zach Brown. 28-year-old inside linebacker, should have been in the Pro Bowl this year, was leading the NFL in tackles when he got hurt. I wish that would have been a multi-year deal when they signed it last year. It wasn't. He made some weird Twitter comments this week about not getting any respect. Everyone assumed that was the Redskins' contract offer. It wasn't. As we said on the show, it was probably based on not being named a Pro Bowler or to the Pro Football Weekly all NFL team as a linebacker. That's a guy you could negotiate with. A guy like Niles Paul, they should work on signing immediately. It doesn't take a lot of money.
Won't cost you much.
No one's beating the door down for Niles Paul and his agent to try to get him lined up for a contract ahead of the start of the league year. Mason Foster I would be negotiating with right now, for sure.
And if the price gets too expensive, then you walk away from it.
Right. Foster has no reason to sign right now because I'm sure he wants to test the market.
And I understand all that.
A guy like Will Compton, though, why wouldn't he want to put pen to paper to come back to Washington, the only program he's ever known where that's not a guy that's going to be a starter for 17 or 18 teams? You're basically going to have the same role here as somewhere else. Special teamer, backup, maybe you force your way onto the field after an injury or so.
So here's what I keep coming back to, and this is the part that I guess I keep arguing with people about. Even if these contracts don't work out, this is where your front office needs to try and get the bargain. This is where they need to try and team build.
I'll bet you they are. I think too highly of Eric Schaefer to not assume that he's doing that. Couple of things. Number one, if you are the Redskins and you're negotiating today, let's say, with Trent Murphy, that may not get reported. Like, Adam Schefter's not doing digging on what's going on with Trent Murphy 2 days before the AFC and NFC title games. Is that something that we'd like reported? Yeah, I'd love to know that that's happening. But I'll give you an example. I know for a fact that the Redskins and Spencer Long, during the season this year, were in pretty serious contract talks when he got hurt. And they wanted to get him signed, and he and his agent disagreed on the value, and his agent apparently thinks he's going to get a pretty hefty chunk of money, which had annoyed some of the people with the team and some of the coaches thinking, wait a second, we like you, Spencer, but we don't like you this much. My point is, that was a back and forth that was going on when they got the Morgan Moses deal done. They kind of turned to Spencer Long. That never got reported. I never heard word one about that, but I know that happened.
Okay.
My guess is those conversations happen all the time, and we're not always privy to them.
So I think the guy that's probably the best at his job over there is Eric Schaefer. But I don't think Eric Schaefer is going around deciding who he's going to negotiate with. I think he's told, Eric, work out a deal with this player. And he says, okay, and he does that. So I value him, and he's good. He should be promoted.
So you think Goose isn't giving him the go-ahead with some of these guys?
That's my guess. Now, if your story, and I believe you, obviously, 100%, if that's the case with everybody, then I'll eat my words, and I'll apologize to the Redskins. My view, though, is we're not hearing anything because there's not much to hear right now. It may be true for a couple guys, but by and large, you have all these free agents, including Kirk Cousins.
They're just kind of chilling and doing nothing.
To me, it would be a big, if you want continuity, and that's we argued about that yesterday, demonstrate that that's what you're going for. Demonstrate that. Leak it out. Get it public.
They did re-sign Quentin Dunbar right after the season.
They showed you that they're able to do it. They can talk to people. Let John Kime know.
They floated offers to a bunch of players right away, and Dunbar was the one guy that came back and was like, yeah, let's do it. Because I've talked to a few agents who said, I cannot believe Quentin Dunbar signed that contract. Basically how team-friendly it was, the money he got, and the fact that he wouldn't have even just tested free agency. The idea being, parlay that into a bigger payday. He was just kind of happy-go-lucky. Yeah, I was a wide receiver who's now a cornerback, and he could be a starting corner at like $2.5, $3 million a year. And a lot of agents I've talked to said, there's no way I would have signed that. This is my assumption, and it's no more accurate, I don't think, than your assumption. But I'm saying common sense tells me he's not the only guy they called. I'll bet you they did that with a bunch of players.
Sure.
Do this, though. We'll both make a list of like five guys you would submit an offer to today if you were the Reds.
Yeah, I'd make it very public that I'm trying to do it.
Who are the five guys you would submit the offer to this afternoon? And if you guys want to hop in on that, you can. 800-636-1067. You're listening to Grant and Danny on The Fan.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
ESPN Stats and Info just tweeted, Blake Bortles is 4-0 head-to-head against Super Bowl-winning quarterbacks this season, with the Jaguars averaging 37.3 points per game in those games. Jacksonville beat Joe Flacco and the Ravens, Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers twice, and Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks. I just love the idea of Bortles being 4-0 head-to-head against quarterbacks. As I like to say, as if they're swimming side by side in lanes competing in the Summer Olympics.
Yeah, he made tackles and intercepted passes, returned punts, kicked field goals. He did the whole thing.
Did he win the game?
Did he win the game, though?
So, who should the Redskins contact today and try to re-sign ahead of free agency? What is your list of priorities? Danny's upset they are not getting deals done, or at least that there aren't reports that we aren't hearing that they're in conversation with the members of their team that are going to be free agents when the league year opens at the beginning of March. I happen to believe, I'm just giving them the benefit of the doubt, that they are contacting these guys. My guess is they've exchanged figures with Junior Gallette's agent, with Trent Murphy's agent. I'll bet you they've discussed a contract with Zach Brown. Now, if we found out they hadn't, I'd be apoplectic. That is inexcusable, and I would be furious. Even for the lesser tier free agents that do not matter as much big picture, like Niles Paul, who are replaceable, those core kind of glue guys, to me, those are the easiest deals to get done. I'd like to think if I when I play Madden and I run a franchise, the first thing I do is just sign all the guys that don't take any money. Just get those three-year deals done. You're staying around. You're making the minimum or close to it.
Avoidable after two. I mean, the whole nine yards. Yeah.
It's the first thing I would do. So those guys would all be done in the next few days. Go get yourself your Ryan Grant, your Dustin Hopkins contract. Bring back Phil Taylor on a flyer. Bring back Brian Quick at wide receiver. Chris Carter, special teams, who got hurt at the end of the year. If Arthur Jones, the D lineman you signed, wants to come back at $875,000, welcome back to the fold. Those deals all get done this week.
Right. So my view is based on a couple things. One, if you give the Redskins the benefit of the doubt, I don't know why you would, first of all. They have not earned it in this regard of handling correct front office business. But let's say you do, and all they're doing is working behind the scenes and there are no leaks, and we will find out in due course that they absolutely did reach out to all these guys and they're negotiating and working really hard to build something stable. I will come on these airwaves, sit in this chair, and I will dine on some crow. I will tell you I was wrong. They deserve the benefit of the doubt. Good for them. I'm going based on, A, their track record. B, they never even called, texted, emailed, Snapchatted Pierre Garçon last year. You have no idea if you can get a hometown discount until you ask. It is your job to kick that tire. If the answer is no, it ain't on you. You want to move on. You don't want to spend too much on a physical receiver that's going to be north of 30. I get it. I got no problem with that decision on its face. I do have a problem with not reaching out. They did not reach out last year. That's my concern, is that the longer we go, the less love that is felt. What did Kirk Cousins say to us a million times over? I want to be where I'm wanted. I want to be where I'm wanted. And he said in his special with us that he does feel wanted, that last year they made him do that. Who knows if that's true or not? I just know this. They've got an opportunity to start waging a PR sort of offensive here, and not in their normal way of being reactive and responsive and starting Redskins facts to try to dispute people that are tearing them down for the team name. I'm talking about showing you that they're on top of this thing. They're asking for confidence in their own competency and the stability of the organization. They're trying to demonstrate that they're doing it like the good teams do. Well, this is a great chance to show us that. There's a great chance to get your word out. I'm not talking about a Bruce Allen press conference where you go, we offered Zach Brown a bunch of money, and he told us to go blank ourselves.
You mean
I'm
Jack not saying Brown? That.
Yeah,
he wouldn't call him Zach Brown.
Zach Brown.
As I think about that, this is one thing I think that goes in your favor or gives you some hope of being right, that they're just not having these conversations yet, that they're waiting for whatever reason. Think about if you're Dustin Hopkins, okay, the 27-year-old kicker from Florida State who's been good the last couple years. Is there a lot of negotiating going on, really? I mean, the Redskins come to you and make you a three-year offer at around, you know, $750,000 a year the first year, and it goes up to like $1.5 million or whatever. Let's say you do negotiate some. That's why you have an agent. Mm-hmm. You go, listen, I made X amount of kicks. I've got a big leg. This is my kickoff percentage into the end zone for touchbacks. Is it really more than a couple hours of going back and forth before you get a deal done? They want you here. You want to be here. We haven't heard anything about that. So when nothing is coming out on guys like Dustin Hopkins or just some of these randoms on the back of the roster that aren't special teamers, it makes me think maybe you've got a point. Here are my five guys that I would contact today, and I want to see if you got anybody on your list that's different than mine. First and foremost is Zach Brown. He's my number one non-Cousins priority. He'd also take the most money and probably as much money as some of these guys combined. Number two on my list would be Junior Gallette. I don't know if I can get him back or not, but I want that guy back.
Yeah.
I think he is a productive pass rusher. I think he'll only get better the further away he gets from injury. And I want to start that conversation. He actually tweeted the other day about how he was crying because Redskins fans were being so nice
just
to him.
The random times they'll just reach out and say nice things.
Yeah.
Good job, Redskins fans. Seriously.
He's like, I'll try to stay as best I can.
Keep it up.
Number three on my list would be Spencer Long. I would like to kick him over to guard, have Chase Roullier at center, and then basically I have one spot on my offensive line to fill. And if I stay healthy, I have a good offensive line. I need to add depth that I'm not playing a bunch of Jags who I've never heard of as the season goes along like you had to this year. So that's three guys right there. Mason Foster would be next. If I sign Zach Brown, I'm probably not signing Mason Foster.
Right.
I'm waiting and I'm getting a little younger with a draft pick in the first couple rounds, or I'm signing someone a little bit cheaper. But if I don't get Zach Brown, then Mason Foster becomes a bigger priority. Trent Murphy would be next on my list. That's my fifth guy. Similarly, nine sacks, can get to the quarterback, can play against the run. You can't have enough pass rushers, which leaves me Nyles Paul and Ryan Grant as the next guys to call. That's kind of my list as I debate my five.
Very similar list for me. And again, I don't know how hard it is to, you know, send John Keim or J.P. Finley or somebody a text that's saying the Redskins are working hard behind the scenes to get some of these deals done. Even if it's not true, the silence
what
is what's frustrating.
What do you think is the benefit to that?
It shows,
from the team's perspective.
It shows that you are on top of this. It shows that we should have confidence in this front office. It shows that you understand it's not just about the greener pastures beyond. It's not just about coveting somebody else the way we did at the top of the show, going, ooh, wouldn't it be fun if we had a superstar team? It shows you that you recognize that guys inside your building, you're building a culture, and it's not just a group that's fine going 8-8 every year. You're recognizing that within your own borders, guys like Morgan Moses and Ryan Kerrigan and Jordan Reed and Trent Williams should be extended, should be the type of players that you are building around. You supplement and add to those guys that have done what you've asked them to do. It shows that, again, I keep coming back to it, it shows that you're on top of it. We've asked for a stable front office. Well, this, again, is an opportunity where people don't trust you. So my five quickly, Kirk Cousins, I'm reaching out, and I'm going to make him an offer. Let him say no. He's going to say no, but I let him say no. Put the ball in his court. Zach Brown, Spencer Long, Junior Gallette, and Mason Foster. Trent Murphy just missed my five, but I would certainly call him too, depending on what those other guys do.
Yeah, and Murphy, if Gallette isn't someone willing to do a deal right now, fine. You move down the list and you make the next call. Like
precisely.
The scene when you're trying to find a babysitter and you're crossing everybody
right
off the list.
Oh, we do it all the time.
In a movie. Beltway Blitz at noon. We will win off the field next. If you've got a thought, we'll take your call. 800-636-1067 on the Redskins trying to get some of these free agency deals done before their players hit the market. You're listening to Grant and Danny on the Fan. At some point today, I would like to talk about Joel Embiid basically telling Rihanna, I'm not interested in you anymore.
Kick rocks and sing about it.
I love that. We're Grant and Danny. You're listening
Embiid's
to the
treasure,
Fan.
By the way.
He's the best.
He's so good.
We're going to get to our winning off the field daily staple. Just before noon, coming up in the next few minutes. Harold is in Greenbelt, though, wanted to hop in on the Redskins. What's up, Harold? How are you?
How are you doing, guys? Long-time listener and podcaster every day.
Appreciate that,
buddy.
I'm a law enforcement officer, so I don't get to listen to you guys, regular airtime. But I wanted to say that I'm upset about Kai Forbath. Should have never got rid of him. I think one of you guys were correct about that. As always, we can never keep a good kicker, Graham Gano and the sort. And I think the call screener said something about Drew Brees. He's already going to resign. Is that right?
He's indicated that. I mean, he's been very public about not wanting to leave New Orleans. He doesn't plan on negotiating with anybody else. But we'll see when rubber meets the road, if and when money comes.
I want to be a Saint as long as they'll have me.
Yeah.
Well, it would be a great landing spot if he was Kurt. Great landing spot for Kurt.
100%. If somehow that doesn't work out.
If he ended up in New Orleans, thanks for the call, buddy, and thanks for podcasting. Always cool when we hear that people hit up grantanddanny.com/audio each day. But, yeah, if the Saints became an opening, working with Sean Payton with the running game that is Ingram and Kamara and the short and intermediate passing game that Breeze this year basically just kind of yawned his way to 4,200 yards.
73% completion percentage.
Yeah, 28 touchdowns or whatever it was. Absolutely. That would be a great spot. I just don't think Drew Brees is going anywhere.
So remember I think it was Darryl Gardner back in the day with the Redskins, where of course he's re-signing. Of course he is. He's keeping his place here. He kept all his stuff in the locker room and didn't even clean it out because he was on a one.
Darryl Gardner?
Is that who it was? I'm trying to remember that it was a defensive tackle who came over and it was, of course he's going to stay with Washington. and he got increasingly irritated at the negotiations or lack thereof. Then eventually he went back to Redskins Park and grabbed all the stuff and went off in a huff.
Wow.
I'm trying to remember if that's the right player. I could have it wrong.
I don't remember that story.
You were like
three.
You could
be right. But I remember Darryl Gardner being here after they brought him over from Oakland, and he had a monster impact.
Yeah.
And everyone thought he was going to get a massive contract, and he did leave. Kevin Burkhart, by the way, one of our boys who calls games on Fox, is going to be on the show today at 1:45.
Oh, nice.
So we will break the huddle for the final time on this Friday show with Burkhart on the line breaking down the title games with us at 1:45. Nobody better on the air right now than him. He's a rising star. Let's get to winning off the field. It is time. You don't do it for me. You don't do it for Danny. You do it for Goose Allen. And then what? Oh, of course they do. Winning off the field means you've done something tiny, but it made you feel good. Something cool happened in your life. Perhaps you opened the refrigerator thinking you were going to just pour yourself a glass of water this morning, and you found out a loved one had made you a nice snack, nice lunch, perhaps.
Winning off the field?
That's a good example, Bruce.
What do you got? How you winning off the field?
This is a very small thing. It's teeny. It's tiny. But
Danny Rauer.
Thank you very much, sir. That's how it fits. That's how winning off the field kind of works. This is a sad one. Again, it's a very little tiny thing here. I thought I had nothing for lunch. Thought I had nothing. And I'm going, oh, what am I going to do? I'm just going to be hungry. What's going to go on? Well, it turns out we had exactly 3 eggs left in the fridge. And so I hard-boiled them. That's my lunch. It's not great. I'm not excited. I'm not bragging about it. But I went from nothing to 3 hard-boiled eggs. I'll probably have some hot sauce on them. It's kind of sick. It's a sad lunch, Bruce.
Mayonnaise?
No, I'm not going to do that, Danny. You're mispronouncing it. I'm saying I don't have much selection. I don't have much joy out of it, but I went from having nothing to having a little something. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field?
I like that. Rich and Olney. Bat signal went up,
Richard.
So he's first in line. What's up, Richard?
Hey, Bob.
What's going on, guys? Hey, Grant, is this your wedding weekend?
No, my friend. No, don't rush that. February 10th.
Ah, gotcha. All right, fair enough. I went to the doctor for my son's one-month visit.
Nice.
And me and my wife had opposing opinions on something, and the doctor directly in front of her said, no, I'm sorry, miss, he's correct. You should take your son for walks, even though it's a little chilly. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
That's the greatest thrill man can have.
You should take your one-month-old son for walks?
Absolutely.
Really?
Even brief ones, but you're missing.
No, I understand the point, but yeah. I wanted to double-click on that. What's the benefit to the one-month-old to be just pushed in a stroller?
Dealing with elements, it's what you got to do. You got to expose them to stuff without overdoing it. But even if it's just a short little walk, he's absolutely correct. Well, hold on, Dr. Phil. I'm telling you. It basically means that Rich was right.
He was right.
And the wife was wrong. That's the greatest thing a man can hear.
This is all mouth.
It's all mouth.
All mouth.
Rod, Fairfax.
I got a rebate in the mail that I wasn't expecting or forgot about. So free Chick-fil-A's all week long.
Winning off the field.
Boom goes the dynamite. Week long Chick-fil-A. That's the best thing I've ever heard. One day you can get chicken with a pickle on it. The next day you can get the little chicken nugget.
Get the spicy one. Oh,
you got to like that, right?
Of course, Kirk. It's delicious.
You'll probably never get a salad, though, because you don't have to like that, do you, Kirk?
You got to like that, right?
No, you don't.
No, that's wrong.
Indeed, that's incorrect.
It's wrong.
Let's go to Kirk in Reston.
Kirk.
He's a fun guy.
Hello, Kurt.
Hey, how are you guys?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, Bob.
Hi, buddy. Hey, Kirk, does everybody call you Kurt?
Yes, they do.
Wow. That's annoying.
Yes, they do.
Kurt.
So I started a new job on Monday.
Kurt.
Winning off the field.
Uh-huh.
Where are you working, my friend? What kind of job did you get?
Delivering auto parts for Olympus Auto Parts.
Kurt.
Very nice.
Right on.
Therefore, he is.
Winning off the field.
Thank you
very much. That's Kurt. An on-field win. That's a career thing. I wonder if he had a follow-up to that, but if it's just a new job.
I was waiting for the follow-up, but then he didn't give us a follow-up.
It may be that.
Dar, you talked to him at some point. Was that the end of his winning
it?
Off the field?
Kurt.
Dar's mic's on, therefore he is.
You got
not
it.
Winning off the
there
field.
There we go.
There you go.
I told him it was an on-the-field win. He's like, I don't care.
Just excited right. to announce it.
Kurt.
I like it, and I'm happy that he's happy.
And here he is.
Having the time of his life.
How's he doing, Serge?
Just watching.
It's not Serge.
Isn't that Sergio Dip?
Just
isn't
watching.
That
guy's
name? Sergio Dip.
That's Sergio Dip.
Yeah, that's right. Serge. I like it.
It's a pleasure to be with you guys.
It is a pleasure to be with you guys.
I'm looking forward to his return. I think he's doing the Super Bowl, isn't he?
No.
You watch him now on the screen.
You and I are going to watch.
What's he, like an MTV or something?
Doing, no, I think he's doing like the Spanish broadcast of the Super Bowl.
Oh, is he really?
I'm pretty sure I read that.
He got himself another gig after that.
He's back in the mix.
Like, that's one step above Darryson. It's a Derry, like when she had like the thing on screen.
I mean, it's
Coach
one,
Vance Joseph.
Probably two steps above. Passes to the man, and boom goes the dynamite. We'll go blitzing around the Beltway next, 12 o'clock hour. Got to talk NBA All-Star Game Draft. LeBron and Steph going to be picking the best players in basketball for their respective teams. No conferences this year. Also, you hate the Patriots as much as you once did. You're listening to The Fan.
Folks, Danny Ruye here for my guys at Ted Britt Ford. You got to go see him. You got to do it. You got to make this move.
Do it now.
I'm telling you, that's the time to do it. Right now, Holden.
Do it.
Kate Upton, don't you boss me during this read. Don't you tell me what to do, Kate Upton.
Here's it.
All right, fine. I'm going to tell him. Can I tell him, please?
Do it now.
130% Kelly Blue Book value. 130% Kelly Blue Book value for your trade, and that's more than 100% by like 30%. That's a terrific Yoder impression. You should be commended for that. That's an awesome deal. Here's some other awesome deals. 2018 Ford Fusion for just $150 a month. That's a lease deal. 2018 Escape for just $150 a month. Another lease deal. Or just buy one for $16,999. Master Yoda, what do you think? 2018 Ford Explorer, just $230 a month in a lease. Or you could save up to $10,000 off the MSRP. New 2018 F-150 pickup, you can lease just $249 a month or buy one again for $11,000 off the MSRP. The deals are abound. It's in Fairfax. It's in Chantilly. It's a click away at TedBritt.com. You've got to go see my pals at Ted Britt Ford just like I've done twice. Thank you, Holden. Just like I've done two different times with two different cars. I love them. You will too. Go see them. Tell them.
Do it now.
Do it
now.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.